It's been lovely to share with you on this Sunday evening, to come and just be part of your worship, to be first and foremost, and then to have the privilege of leading worship and then sharing from God's word. We're 2 weeks away, aren't we? We're 2 weeks away from what is the central fact of our Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Had it ended on the cross, there would have been no good news to share, no bold church to witness, no new covenant, no new testament to teach and to preach, no hope for real life in all its fullness here and now, and no hope for life eternal, everlasting. I hope that we still have the resurrection joy in our hearts and lives tonight, two weeks down the road. I hope that we haven't lost the joy of the resurrection. I can imagine this church on Easter Sunday morning, and just as it would be in most places, and singing those great hymns, Christ the Lord is risen today, and other such great Easter hymns. And I can imagine the enthusiasm and the joy which we would have shared here in this place, that great resurrection message. But I hope that we don't lose it too quickly. I hope we don't lose that joy and 2 weeks down the road, when lots of other things have crowded into our lives, we've lost the joy of in our hearts. We've lost the joy of the message of the resurrection, because that message is central importance to our faith. I believe our second reading, the first one's a good reading, but Brian brought to us from 1 Corinthians, is one of the great chapters in the Bible. Paul had talked about what it is to love in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and we know that chapter so well. He then went on in chapter 14 to tell them how they should behave in worship, and how things should be done in order in worship. He says some things that might be a little bit contentious today, but we're not going to go into them tonight. And then he comes to this 15th chapter, as we have it. It would have been part of his letter. We come to this 15th chapter, and it brings stability and hope to everyone who will hear and who will listen to these particular words. Just going to look at two strands of it. There are loads of things that we could have looked at, but we're going to look at two strands: the historical event and then the present day presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the historical event of those particular days. Paul reminds his reader how they had come to hear the gospel through my preaching, he says. You heard the good news through what I preached to you. And then he goes on to remind them, and look at the difference it's made in your life. Look at the difference that hearing the gospel message has made in your daily living. Once you were this, you heard the gospel, and now you are here in your Christian experience. And I suppose each and every one of us could testify to the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ made in our lives. Once I was no knowledge, I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and here I am today in my Christian experience. They received the good news. They had been saved and had been able to be a witness in the world as believers. They had been able to stand there for Christ. I'll stand for Christ, we sing in the Salvation Army. I don't know whether you have it. I'll stand for Christ. I'll stand alone if need be. Paul then goes on to reduce the gospel to its very essence, its place in the history of the world, an event that can be given a date, a place, and a person. And he goes on to summarize God's activity in three statements, which I think you might imagine that in some churches would have been proclaimed today in worship. I don't know whether you do it here, but in some churches they would have proclaimed the affirmation, Christ died for our sins, the recognition and the significance of the cross in salvation. He was buried, the reality of his death, of dying and being buried on our behalf, And he rose again, our hope for the future. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and is risen. Obviously, some people were beginning to doubt that, even after such a short period. People were beginning to doubt the fact that he has risen. And Paul takes the time to say, well, if he isn't risen, what you believe is futile. What I'm preaching is a waste of time, and I might as well not be here tonight. But it isn't. The truth is, Christ rose again. And Paul's main argument to the truth of the resurrection is that there are still eyewitnesses alive, as you're hearing this letter read to you, who could corroborate the fact that Jesus died and was really, really raised from the dead. It's like something that we would have today when into schools they would take somebody perhaps who had been in a particular situation. I suppose World War II is a fact of that they would invite somebody who had fought or had been a land army girl or whatever you'd done during the war and say, come into school and talk to our pupils because you are living history. And Paul is saying there are people who can give a living history to this particular situation. They can talk about it and they can tell you about it because they saw it for themselves. Paul admits that not everyone is still living, but estimates that there are as many perhaps as 500 people who could verify the truth of what he is writing about, including the apostles and himself. And although his meeting with Christ came later, he makes no distinction between the Christ who met Cleopas on the road to Emmaus with his friend and walked with him and talked through history and talked through scriptures with him until they shared a dinner together, a meal together. He says no distinction between that experience of the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus as his experience when Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. These are powerful witnesses, he's saying. It was the risen Christ and nothing else that transformed that defeated band of followers into witnesses that they were so bold that they turned the world up the right way. The world had been turned upside down, but they, through their bold witness, turned the world up the right way. It was the risen Christ who transformed Paul from a persecutor of the church who was no happier than when he had a letter in his pocket and could make his way to a town and go into that town and start persecuting the Christians. It was the power of the living Christ, the power of the risen Christ who made a difference, who transformed Paul into one of the great evangelists of the Christian church and one of the great writers of letters that help us in our understanding of Christ and all it means for us in our lives today. And it is the power of the risen Christ that has or will transform the lives into people so bold that they will bear witness to the risen Christ in our world today. And the world needs it. The world needs bold people who know the truth of the risen Christ in their lives, who know the truth of Christ rose from the dead and is alive and is living in our hearts and in our minds. And the world needs people who will, through either their words, if necessary, as they say, or through their living, will show the risen Christ to a needy world. Jesus did not rise from the dead merely to give us a new doctrine that we could read out, although his resurrection is at the very heart of our faith. He arose from the dead to assure his disciples that he had not forsaken them and that he would never leave them, and he would continue to be with them in a very real and wonderful way throughout the generations and through our lives and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul takes time to say, look, Corinthians, if it's not true, what you believe is all wasted. If it's not true that God raised Jesus from the dead, then what we're doing is just a waste of time. But I know that you believe that Christ rose from the dead. You gather together as the church gathered on Sundays to worship together because you believe God raised Jesus from the dead. He rose and through the power of his Holy Spirit is alive in our world today and alive in our hearts. But what about a present day presence? A present that's all right for all those years ago. But what about today? What about the here and the now? Haverhill in 2018. What about then, now? Because Christ has risen, the Holy Spirit was poured upon the believers. We'll celebrate that in a few weeks' time at Pentecost. The power of the risen Christ then entered into those disciples and through their lives were able to do miraculous things. They were able to do even greater things than Christ because he promised that. He promised that they would do even greater things than I have done. And so through their lives, they continue to do those great things. It was through the power of the risen Christ that an invalid is healed by the temple gates and is able to rise and leap and dance down the street because of the power of the risen Christ working through the disciples at that time. It was the disciples' conviction of the abiding presence of the living Lord who had defeated the death and grave and all the powers of evil that were involved in his death, which would explain the continuation of Christianity, not only in their days, as we saw it grow and we see it spread out so quickly, but also today as a living faith in our world today, living through us. You can imagine, see, few people will die for a lie. Few people would go through the things that the disciples went through because of an untruth. They would soon give up if it was not the truth, but they were so convicted by what they had seen and what they had been taught that they were able to go through what they went through. It was the same power and the same conviction, which is also encourage us to share the good news of the gospel. For there are people in our families, there are people in our neighborhoods, in our street, there are people in this town who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But it was the same power and the same conviction that should encourage us to seek justice. There's in a world where we need to see justice in our world. The Salvation Army and with other organisations are very much involved in anti-human trafficking, modern-day slavery, and helping those people who have been set free from the slavery that they have been brought over to our country or maybe even live in our country in the first place, and being involved in trying to help them and trying to help to settle them down. And I'm so grateful that the Salvation Army is involved with that. And there will be things that the Methodist Church are doing, maybe away from here, but the Methodist Church are involved in seeking justice for people who need justice in their lives. I'm so glad, and it is the same power and the same conviction that encourages us to look after those who are hurting, to feed the hungry, to meet the human needs in our world today. It was Christ's living presence which strengthened the disciples in moments of weakness, in moments when they might have been tempted to turn the other way and to run away because of what they might have to face. And it will be the same Christ's living presence which will strengthen us in those moments when we feel that we want to turn our back on a Christian faith. It will be his abiding presence that will support us and help us and lift us to enable us to be what he wants us to be. It was Christ's living presence which allowed Peter and other disciples to face severe opposition with amazing courage. For Peter to stand in front and stand before the courts of the same people who had only days, weeks previous had convicted the Lord Jesus Christ to death on the cross. And yet for the abiding presence of Christ, they were able to stand in front of them and say, look, I don't care what you're saying, we can only go by what God has told us. There is no other name by which we can be saved but by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the abiding presence of Christ that helped them stand there in front of those people who could have quite easily put them to death at a moment's notice. But the abiding presence of Christ helped them to stand and be firm. It was Christ's living and abiding presence that comforted the disciples in their time of trial and trouble. And I'm not going to do it tonight because time is going on, but we could go through a list of the disciples and the writers of the Gospels and say how each and every one of them suffered because of their willingness to stand up for Christ and to preach the Gospel. Only John, the brother of James, who went to the Isle of Patmos and was given a vision and wrote the book of Revelation, he was the only one, and he did suffer as well, but he was the only one to die of old age. The rest of them didn't reach old age. Mark was dragged round a town, tied to a horse, and he was dragged round and he was dragged round the town at the back of a horse until he died. Peter, you know the story of Peter, how he was crucified, but would only be crucified upside down because he didn't want to die the same way that Christ had died. And we could go through, I nearly did there, didn't I? But we could go through the apostles and the writers of the Gospels, and each one of them, apart from John, suffered and died for their faith. But it was the abiding presence of the living Christ that comforted them in those times of trouble and enabled them to stay firm. Why would you suffer that? Why would you suffer that if what you were preaching and teaching you didn't believe wholeheartedly, that you hadn't put your whole faith and trust in? I'd give up. I'm not sure how I'd do. So I'd have been dragged around the back of a horse and say, "Here, don't believe it anymore." But I don't know. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would help me see it through. But it's the living presence of Christ who will see us through times of trial and trouble in our lives, because it is the same living presence of the risen Christ who is with us today. Now, I'm no expert, and some of you may know better than me, but they do say that trainers of guide dogs for the blind tell people learning to cross the street with their dogs, walk close to your dog. Stay close to your dog, because he cannot guide you if you hold him at arm's length. Now, you don't need me, but I'm going to anyway. You don't need me to say that that fits very well into our Christian experience as well. Stay close to the risen Christ. Stay close to him. For when we stay close to him, he can guide us and he can lead us. If we have him at arm's length, very difficult perhaps for him to lead us. We must consistently and deliberately stay close to the risen Christ if we want to enjoy the companionship and infallible leadership and guidance of the risen Christ in our lives today. And when we do that, we know that he will never, ever lead us astray. And he will guide us in the direction, in the ways that he wants us to go. And so we come to the conclusion almost of our thoughts for this evening. I say to you, a fact. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I believe that. And I believe that you believe that too. Fact. He is presence with us now. He is here in this place. He was with you yesterday. Whatever you were doing yesterday, he was with you yesterday. He's with us now, here in this place. And he will be with you tomorrow. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, he will be with you. Fact, he's risen from the dead. Fact, he is with us now and he will be with us every day. Fact, he is able to save you from sin's power and give you victory in your lives. He is able to bring the spirit of God's wholeness and happiness into your hearts and lives. He is able to keep that Easter joy, not just for 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. He is able to keep that Easter joy alive in you consistently throughout your lives until we meet with him face to face, and then the joy will be complete in all its fullness. That's a fact. Now, there's a choice to make. There's a choice. We can ignore the truth of the resurrection, and we can deny the fact of the resurrection, as obviously some people who Paul was writing to in the church at Corinth. We can deny the knowledge of the resurrection. And if we do that, we will never know the peace and the security and the guidance he can bring into your lives. That's one choice. Not a very sensible one, but it is a choice. Another choice is this. We can respond to him in faith. We can accept him as our friend. We can accept him as our Savior and Redeemer, and know his companionship and leadership and guidance in our lives, day by day, moment by moment, that we will go nowhere where the Lord isn't guiding us and leading us and being with us. And I believe that if we make that choice, and many of you will have already made that choice, and maybe tonight is just a reaffirmation of that choice that you made in your life at some point. But when we do that, the weaknesses that we may know in our lives are turned to strength. The struggles that we may have in our lives become victories. And the sorrows that we may know in our lives are turned into joy. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. What will we do with that? I pray that we will accept that and know Jesus as our Savior and continue to share the good news of that message, however we are able to do that in our lives, so that others will come to know the joy of the resurrected, the risen Christ as a daily presence in their lives. Amen. Amen.